Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful subject, dear Lord. The Bible principle all through the New Testament. We're going to chase it around. And Lord, we need to hear it. We need to be reminded of it. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to read this portion of Scripture. Just read it aloud. And Lord, thank you for what you did for us. We were hopeless. We were without hope. There wasn't a one of us that wasn't born by nature children of wrath. And yet, Lord, you loved us enough to send Jesus to die for us. And so, Lord, may we make an emphatic statement concerning salvation, but also, Lord, then look at Christian responsibilities in light of the Bible. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to start out by just kind of reestablishing something that we preach on a regular basis here, and we say often, because one of the major doctrines of the Bible, one of the foundational doctrines of the Bible, is this matter of salvation by grace through faith. And folks, listen to me. I think it was D.L. Moody that said there's only two religions. Now, you think about this. All the different types of religions, all the different types of churches, all the different types of denominations. He said you can divide every single one of them into two groups. It's either they believe that it's done or that you have to do. It's either done or you have to do. And that's exactly right. Folks, listen to me. Jesus paid it all. He didn't pay most of it. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, I want you to look and think about that, because you may be here and you may be well-meaning. You may be a faithful attendee and set underneath the preaching of Pastor Jerry Ross. And if you're not careful, folks, listen to me. I guess my biggest fear in all of the world is to one of these days be at the great white throne judgment and see somebody that for a while attended Blessed Old Baptist Church and yet were lost. Now, here's the problem. The devil's good at what he does. I've had people say, well, I believe that salvation's by grace, but I believe also that you have to do this. Now, I want to read something to you because you need to hear it, because in this matter, there's no middle ground. In Romans chapter 11, even so then at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. I want you to understand something. There's no mixing these two. Well, yeah, I believe that we're saved by grace, but the minute that you said but, you know what? You're getting ready to try to add something that you've got to do. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you are believing in Jesus Christ for your hope of heaven, 99%, and you're something that you've got to do, 1%, then you need to walk an aisle of an old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist church and get saved this morning. I mean, have you ever in your life come to a point where you said, you know what, there's nothing I can do. I'm hopeless, I'm lost. I mean, there's nothing I can do. The only hope I have is what Jesus Christ did for me on Calvary. And you know what? I'm putting my full trust and faith in what he already done for me. Not in anything I've got. Well, preacher, here's another thing. And I'm trying to point out some false doctrine. There's a group of people that said, we believe salvation is by grace through faith. Absolutely. Here it is again. But We believe that if you don't live a certain way, you can lose your salvation. You know what you're trying to do? You're still trying to reach and get that works and mix it in with grace. If you have to work to keep your salvation, then you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ wholly in this matter of totally by faith through the grace of God, trusting in Jesus Christ. Because you're still saying, I've got to do something to get to heaven. I've got to do something to make sure I get there. And so I want to just go on record again, as we've said many, many times, that you know what, folks? For by grace are you saved through faith. It's right there in front of you, verse 8 and 9. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know what? God knew us well enough to know that even if we had 1% to do with it, we'd be up in heaven bragging about that 1%. But every single person that's saved that gets to heaven one of these days is all going to look at each other, tears running down our face, and say, isn't it amazing what God did? He did everything. He did it all. He did it all. We deserve to go to heaven, but he did this. And so I want you to be reminded of that. Now, a church like ours, a lot of times, it seems like when the subject of good works comes up, you know what we're usually doing? We're preaching against good works as a way of salvation. But I think every once in a while, a preacher in our type of church need to get up and say, listen, folks, good works is not a bad thing. And you know what? The Bible goes on to say after verse number 8, after verse number 9, yes, we're not trusting in our good works to get us to heaven, but notice what it goes on and says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why did he do this? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. And I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, created unto good works. And I'm going to just tell you in advance what I'd like the Holy Spirit to do in all of our hearts. And I'm talking about me as well as you. I want the Lord to do something in my heart this week and give me a special opportunity and special insight. And you know, folks, one of the things about good works and doing of good works is all of us are busy, and I think we all got a heart too, but you know what? I think sometimes we walk past opportunities to do good. And I'm just going to encourage Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what? We're saved by grace, but you know what? We also are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And you know what? I don't do good works and shouldn't do good works in order to try to be saved or try to stay saved. But I ought to do it just in thanksgiving to Almighty God for saving me. Listen, God was so good to me. Is it a big thing for him to ask for me to find somebody that I could be good to this week? And so we're going to talk about this matter of good works and kind of stir up the congregation. I hope that God, in a special way, I'd like there to be 50, 60, 100 stories next Sunday where, you know what, God gave me an open door. God let me see something. God let me in just some little way be a blessing and a help to somebody. Hey, let's sell this thing this morning through the scriptures. Number one, I'm going to give you several things, okay? Number one, coming to church should encourage you to perform good works. As a Christian, you should come to church. But part of coming to church ought to be an encouragement, a challenging to perform good works. God used the Apostle Paul to write to a young preacher by the name of Titus. And this is what God told Paul to write to him, to a young preacher. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And you know what? Isn't that interesting? This is a faithful saying, telling the young preacher, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. You know what? Number one, listen to this. Part of a pastor's responsibility is to remind and encourage and exhort his people to be busy in the performing of good works. Folks, there's so many people that have needs and so many people that need encouragement, so many different situations out there. And to be honest with you, God didn't put the preacher as the responsibility of trying to be the encourager of everybody and the performer of all the good works. An entire congregation ought to be busy about it. And if we're all tender to what the Lord would want us to do this week, you know what? I think a lot would get done. There are three kinds of people in the world. I read this week and I had, you know, listen, by the way, when I'm talking about doing good works, I understand, dear God, that every person has to do it within the parameters of what they have available to them and opportunities presented to them. But I also want to just remind you of this, folks, don't look for the easiest opportunity. Oh, pastor preached on doing good works. So I'll tell you what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to look and I'm going to watch. Now that would be too hard. That would take too much time. That would cost too much money. Oh, here's something. Take me about 5 seconds and I can go to church. No, stop that. I read that this week. There are three kinds of workers. Now, if you want to find out that this is true, then have somebody get up and say, we need a piano moved after church. There's three kinds of workers, okay? If the preacher needs a piano moved, the first kind gets behind and pushes. The second gets in front and pulls and guides. The third grabs the piano stool. All right. What I'm saying is, you know, well, I did good this week. Are you always grabbing the piano stool? You know, every once in a while, the Lord's going to give you a challenge. I mean, something's going to require some sacrifice. Something's going to require some time. But folks, listen to me. That's part of our Christian duty, part of our Christian responsibility. On a regular basis, I would want to do something for someone else that takes more effort than moving the piano stool. I want to pastor a people who are known for their selflessness and sacrificial good works. Part of the responsibility of the pastor is to exhort people to perform good works. Part of the responsibility of the assembly is to encourage each other to perform good works. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to go over there. We're not that far. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's flip over and look at some of these. Matter of fact, if you have a pen or a pencil, you don't mind marking on your Bible, I'm going to give you several opportunities to circle this little phrase, good works, the two-word phrase, good works. In Hebrews chapter number 10, we often go here because we want to read verse number 25, and we want to preach on the importance of church attendance. But let's back all the way up to verse number 22, Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now notice verse 24, very important. And let us consider, all right, we're assembled together, right? This is what this portion of scripture is. It's talking about the assembly and the responsibilities that we have as we're assembled. And let us, first of all, consider one another. Now think, let's just stop there because we're going to break this verse down. All right, the church comes together. You know what part of our responsibilities is when the church gathers? Stop and consider one another. You know what that means? Look around. You know what that means? Have a tender heart. That means evaluate situations. You know what it means? Look for needs. How do you know that? Let's keep reading. Let us consider one another to provoke. So by considering one another, it's going to provoke something in us. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to, what's the next two words? Good works. Okay, now think about this. Say, preacher, we're talking about, and you already challenged us to leave this place and maybe go out this week and look for opportunities. But folks, let me say this. When you gather on Sunday, that's the first place you ought to look for an opportunity to do good works. Say, first place? Yeah, I'll back that up. Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Wait, but especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now folks, listen, as I go about my life outside of this church, I want to be tender to looking for opportunities for good works. But the Bible is very emphatic to say, you know what, when you come to church, I think it's Ben Franklin that was credited with saying, and coining the phrase, charity begins at home. And let me say this, ought to be your church home if you come here. You ought to treat it like that. And you know where you first look for opportunities to do good? Bible says, especially those of the household of faith. Now, let me just say this, folks, everybody's situation in this church fluctuates. There's all kinds of people that face different types of situations and different needs. And you know what we ought to do as a congregation? We ought to come and be tender to what other people are going through. Are you listening to me? This ought to provoke us to love. But it ought not just to provoke us to love them. It ought to provoke us to do some good works towards them. And so that means you got to be tender to what the Lord would have you do in the congregation and amongst the people of the church. There's, In any given time in a congregation this size, there's more than one family that usually is going through some type of a tough time. Sometimes it's materialistically, sometimes it's financially, a lot of times it's other things. It's not that. And can I say this, folks? It's not just up to the pulpit to be tender to that. It's up to every person to be tender to the Holy Spirit as you look around and consider one another. And as you consider one another, let the Holy Spirit provoke you to love and good works. I'm talking about helping out each other. I'm talking about being a blessing to each other. And I look right up here. Let me say this. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I'm going to say this, God's been overly good to this preacher, but I also want to say this, and folks, I'm not bragging, I'm telling the truth, you check me and my wife's track record, and you know what, we have had and continue to have a tenderness towards looking for people's needs, and if we can help, we're going to try to help. Now, it's easy to sit in a congregation and hear this kind of preaching. I'm going to help some of you right now. If all you're thinking right now is, yep, I've got a need and more people need to meet it, you are missing what I'm preaching here. Matter of fact, can I say this? If you are in constant need and it never ceases, then I promise you there's some biblical principles that you are defying or not obeying that's keeping you in that situation. And you know what? Your job is not to come and latch onto a church and for 10 years always be in constant crisis needing people to bail you out. Are you listening to me? But I'm talking about people that are just facing things not of their own doing. And you know what? The church being sensitive to what's going on. And you know what? I've been here 22 years. There's not a family in this church in 22 years that haven't faced some type of crisis situation. And you know what part of the responsibilities of the gathering of the church? The preacher's supposed to remind you, hey, part of what our responsibilities is this in this matter of good works. And you know one of the things that we're supposed to actively be doing? We're supposed to consider one another as we gather here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And let that consideration provoke us to love. And let that consideration provoke us to good works where we look for opportunities to help. Well, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. You know what? If you're willing to sow when you don't have a whole lot, are you listening to me? When you're willing to sow when you don't have a whole lot, you know what? God's going to allow you to reap some things. And it's easy to look at everybody else and say, well, they have plenty. You know what they should be doing? Kind of like the story I like to tell every once in a while where the farmer came to the preacher after church and he said, preacher, if I had $1 million, I'd give it away. I'd give it to the church. I'd give it to the poor if I had $1 million. And the preacher said, how about a pig? And he said, oh, preacher, come on. That's not fair. You know I've got a pig. And, you know, the honest truth is it's always easy to talk about what we would give if we only had. And you know what? God's not interested in that. He's interested in looking at what we do have. And then we're going to get to some other things on this. But what I'm saying is this, folks, part of the reason that we assemble together is so that the preacher will get up every once in a while, according to the Bible, and say, you know what, I'm going to affirm this constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And you know what, as we draw together, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. So number one, coming to church should encourage you. Part of coming to church, what it's for is to encourage you to do some. What are you doing this morning, preacher? I am affirming this once again. I'm saying, let's not get selfish. Let's be tender to the Holy Spirit. There's real needs every single week in somebody's life. Sometimes it's just a matter of they need a little encouragement. Sometimes it's a matter they just need somebody to pull them over and pray with them a little bit. Sometimes they just need somebody to say, hey, you can make it through another week. Keep going. It's not always financial things, but folks, we ought to be tender to the Lord. Number two, boy, let's establish this. Number two, Jesus is our ultimate example when it comes to performing good works. I mean, folks, if we need an example, we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go over to John chapter 10. Let's use our Bible some this morning. John chapter 10. It's good to turn the pages. I want you to circle when you find it, these two words, good works or good works. Good work. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John chapter 10, verse number 27. John 10, 27. Notice this. Jesus said this, my sheep hear my voice. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? You know what? Jesus said, hey, you know what? You followed me around. You've put me under the microscope. And by the way, they weren't following him around as one of his fans. They weren't a member of the fan club. They followed him around to watch and try to catch him in something. You know all they saw Jesus do? He went over here and he did good. And he went over here and he did good. And he went over here and did good. And he met some lepers and he healed them. And he met a poor lady and he provided for her. And he saw somebody that was blind. And by the time that interaction with Jesus transpired, they could see. He went over to the cripple and helped them get to their feet and heal them. And folks, that's what he did. They followed him. And all they saw him do was good, good, good. They pick up stones to stone him. And he said, which of the good works do you stone me for? Matter of fact, the summarization, if you want a summarization of what Jesus did in his earthly ministry, it's in Acts chapter 10, verse number 37 through 39. That word I say unto you that was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devils, for God was with him. And you know what? If we're going to be like Jesus, then you know what we ought to do? We ought to have a Jesus mentality. And that means as I go through life, I'm going to stop and I'm going to try to help somebody. I'll just give you a quick, folks, listen, there's opportunities, and I'm not, you know, I don't follow you around, or I could use illustrations from your life, okay? So, and hopefully you don't follow me around. If you do, you're a stalker, okay? Stop it, all right? But you know, the other day I went, and God gives you opportunities. I had to drop something off at the post office just real quick. And so I stopped in, and there was a lady that was sitting in her Jeep, and she was parked in front of the post office. I pulled in beside it, and I went in real quick and did that. And when I came back out, she had a towel laid underneath her Jeep, and she was getting ready to crawl underneath her Jeep. Now, this is a lady. Now, I don't know how you were raised, but I don't care if I got a suit and tie on at that point. You don't let a lady climb underneath a Jeep and do anything. So I said, ma'am, is there something I can help you with? And she said this, and by the way, I love it. And if you haven't had this experience in your life, then you've had it too well off in life, okay? She said, yeah, I really could use some help. She said, I need to have somebody, could you just turn the key and try to start the car while I'm banging the starter? come on, raise your hand if you've ever had a... And if you haven't, shame on you. I mean it. Shame on you. And I said, ma'am, I am not going to turn the key while you're under there bang on the starter, but I'll get under there and bang on the starter while you turn the key. And then I'm praying, man, I hope this is not a manual, and I hope she don't leave it in the, you know. I'm kind of doing this number, but I'm ready to roll, you know, if I need to roll, you know. And so, you know, she had a towel down there. I took my jacket off, rolled under there, and I said, all right, and I started banging on that. And I thought, all the memories of how many vehicles I've had in my life where I had to bang on a starter to get it started, and it started right up. And she was so thankful. I was able to give her a gospel track and said, hey, that's the least I can do, and glad. And if you need any help, you know, it's just, you know, here it is, husbands. No, it's just something my husband says he keeps going to, come on, ladies, he's going to get it fixed one of these days. And I would not want to be that husband on the way. She already had her phone out, and she was talking before I left there. And so, amen. I've also experienced that in my life. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying that it's there. It's easier to walk over and jump in the car. It's easier to say, well, she's probably got somebody. Everybody's got a cell phone. They got help. Listen, let's stay country. Which means if there's somebody pulled off the side of the road, you don't just drive by them. You know, you pull over and you roll your window down and you say, hey, do you need any help? Is there somebody coming? Is there something I can do? Well, preacher, I'm in a hurry. Yeah, that's our problem. You know, when study the life of Jesus Christ, the disciples were always in a hurry, and it doesn't seem like Jesus ever was. You know, because he wasn't so worried about getting to the next place as he was looking for the next opportunity to do good to somebody. And I'm just saying, folks, the greatest ambassadors for Blessed Hope Baptist Church are sitting in a pew right here. And you know what? The best chance we have to get people in here is not to just knock on doors and go soul winning. The best chance we have is to send out a group of people that genuinely care about people. And you know what? Folks, don't forget those type of things. And so Jesus is our ultimate example. We're talking about good works. Number three, good works give us an opportunity to bring glory to God. In Matthew chapter 5, let's turn there. I want you to circle it again. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm just having you go to a few of the verses that I'm reading. If you want to have a good time, just get your concordance out or use your computer program, put in the two words good works, and just read every verse this week. And I tell you what, you'll leave different, you'll leave changed, because God expects something of us. I saved you by grace. I didn't ask you to work for salvation, but now that you're saved, I want to put you to work. I want to put you to work for me. Good works give us an opportunity to bring glory to God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? If ye it is thenceforth good for nothing, but be cast out, be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, for it giveth light to all that are in the house. Watch this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your, there it is, circle it, good works. Why? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me tell you something, folks. It's real easy to get into, and you got to be careful. Preacher, I'm for that. I'll tell you what, I love doing it, and anytime I get a chance to do it, let me ask you this. When you do a good work, do you take credit for that good work, or do you give God the glory for it? Here's a good principle to live by. Do good works, but always give God the credit. You know, I said to that lady, I said to her as we parted, I said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you what, and I'm not kidding. I have owned a number of vehicles like this where I was underneath them tapping the starter. And I said, she was very, very grateful and very appreciative. And I said, ma'am, listen, there's been a lot of people that's helped me in my life. But the one person that's helped me more than anything, because he saved my soul, is Jesus Christ. And you know what? God's been so good to me. How could I not try to be good to others? And what were you doing? You're pointing them to God, pointing them to God. If you're not careful, folks, watch this. This the matter of doing good works is kind of an exciting thing. But you know what? People tend to want to laud, praise, and appreciation onto you. Remember what my dad said? The most dangerous place in the world to stand is between God and His glory. And so you know what? If it wasn't for God, you know what? I'd be selfish and lost. It's not because of Jerry Ross and who I am. It's because of what God has done in my life. Listen, use good works to enhance God's reputation, not your own. 1 Peter chapter 2, dearly beloved, I beseech you as pilgrims, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they have beheld glorify God in the day of visitation. And you know what that's basically saying is this, folks, the world's not going to understand everything about where we have to stand and what we have to be and what we have to do as Christians. But you know one thing, even when they're tempted to speak evil of us, the one thing that's going to protect us more than anything else is our good works. You know, I don't expect the world to understand. I don't expect them to understand everything that Bible-believing Christians do, how we live, why we won't go certain places, why we won't do certain things. I don't expect them to believe that or understand it. And you know what? We're going to take criticism because of it. But I'd like for them to be able to say, you know what? That's kind of a strange bunch of folks down there at Blessed Hope. But I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell you, if they have an opportunity to help you, they're going to help you. And the best neighbor we have, is a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The kindest neighbor we have is a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's what the Bible's talking about. Good works give us an opportunity to bring glory to God, so let's use it for that opportunity. By the way, a lot of times, the way that you can make sure that God receives the glory, let me just remind Christians of this, is as much as possible, and it's not always possible, but as much as possible, I think much of our good works, especially in the area of giving, ought to be done secretly. You know how to make sure God gets the glory? Just put yourself out of the picture so you can't get any. Now think about that. Is that Bible? Matthew chapter 6. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. I'm talking about motive here, folks. We've got to be careful. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, for thine alms may be in that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now again, there's sometimes that God's going to move your heart. You know, obviously, folks, I could not secretly tap on that woman's starter to help her get her car started. But you know what? When it comes to giving, I just as soon do it anonymously if I'm going to help somebody. You know what? Because I know that I deal with the same thing every human being does, and that's this matter of pride. And if we're not careful, we kind of like recognition, like being pat on the back, like to have the reputation of being the person that, you know what? Boy, they're the need filler there. Let's give God the glory. Great things he hath done, okay? You know, there was a lady, me and my wife, in early days of Central Baptist Church, we started the church there in Brazil, Indiana, and there was a lady that came to our church, and me and my wife in those days, I don't want to say this for you to feel sorry for us, because I'm going to tell you it was a blessing. I wouldn't change our lives for anything, but at that time, when I say we didn't have two nickels to rub together, I'm not exaggerating. We just existed. But you know what? We had a heart for people. And Cheryl's dad worked at a car dealership. And you know what? The cars that people traded in that should have been taken straight to the junkyard, he would get them for us, you know. And we try to get like 6 months out of them or 9 months out of them. Sometimes one of them would last a year. And it didn't matter if it broke down, because Cheryl was good at pushing and I was good at steering, you know. So it always worked out pretty good for us, you know. But we ended up with an extra car that he just said, man, there's a good deal. It's this old station wagon. And I mean, it was the old station wagon. You know, the station wagon where they decided it looked really good to put wood paneling down the side of it, you know. I mean, it was one of them. It was awesome, you know. And we got this thing, and there was a lady in our church, and she, single mom and trying to raise kids, and her car broke down, and we had this extra car as it was. And I went home after church one day, and I told Cheryl, I said, Lord won't leave me alone about it. I think we're supposed to give that car to them. And we finally had an extra car, two cars, you know. You know, ladies, when you finally got the extra car, and all of a sudden here your husband's giving it away, you know. But Cheryl was right on top of it. She felt the same leading. And she said, yeah, I felt the same thing. We need to do this. Now, I'm saying this to tell you, there's no way to secretly transfer a title from one person to another. I'm just saying there's going to be times. But let me tell you this. We were pastoring at Blessed Hope at Central Baptist Church. And you know what? We were going through a really, really pretty tough time financially for a while there. And after church one day, me and my wife went out to our vehicle. Sunday night, church was over. We go to get in the vehicle, and sitting on the driver's seat's an envelope with nothing on the outside of it. And I open it up, and there's $100 bill in there. Amen. The next Sunday night, Brother Val, we went out to get in the car. We open the door. There's an envelope there. There's $100 bill there. I don't know if it's somebody went to the church. I don't know if it was somebody during church from the community. I don't know. I have no idea. The third Sunday night, man alive, I preach a real short message. I'm trying to push people out the door, you know. I go out to the car. There's a blanket, $100 bill. You know, that happened five Sunday nights in a row. Five Sunday nights in a row. Why do you share that? I share that because I want to tell you something. To this day, I don't have any idea who funneled over 5 weeks' time $500 to help a preacher and his family that was just trying to get a church started. But I'm going to tell you this. God knows who it was. And you know what? Great will be their reward in heaven. God says, if you're doing it to be seen of men, then you know what? You've got your reward here. You got it. And I'm still saying that the people were helped. By the way, I'm still glad that you did something, because you still helped somebody, but your reward, you just got it, because you were really doing it so somebody would brag on you, pat you on the back, or, you know, you could tell the story 15 times to people, okay? But when you do it secretly, and you're able to do it secretly, there's just something special that comes from that. And you know what? I'm excited, because I have no doubt after the service tonight, I'm going to go out there, and there's going to be an envelope. I'm going to open it up, and there's going to be a note saying, "We're praying for you." Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. You know what? I'd just soon have prayers right now than a $100 bill, and I mean that. I'll take the prayers. Amen. Give the $100 bill to someone around here that needs it. And by the way, there are some people that need some help right now. Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all right? Good works give us an opportunity to bring glory to God. So you know what? That person did that, but God got the glory. We went home not saying, "Thank you, Lord, for brother or sister so-and-so." We went home praising God the whole way because we didn't have anybody else to praise but God. Number four, I want to give this to you ladies. Let me have you go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want to talk to the ladies and I want to talk to the young men for a minute. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Notice this, 1 Timothy chapter 2, number 2. Are you ready to circle two words again? 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 9 and 10. Boy, our entire culture needs to hear this. I don't shy away from certain verses of the Bible. I don't say that they are connected to the culture of that time. We just are Bible-believing Christians. We believe in taking the Bible literally around here. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array." Well, I'm just going to stop and say, young ladies, don't. You know what? Cancel all the stupid teen magazines. All right, stop looking through Cosmopolitan. Stop wandering through the makeup section of the mall and looking at all the little painted women that look like strange women according to the Bible. And stop, listen, you know what? You ought to look at Christian women. And where are you learning some of this stuff? Where are you learning some of these styles? I'm just being honest with you. Where are you learning them? Who are you looking to? Is it Hollywood? That's what you're trying to be like? Is it the pop culture? Okay. Is it the magazine girls? I'm just telling you, what you ought to do is obey the Bible here. And what the Bible's saying is, you know what it's saying here? It's warning about being overly infatuated with your outward appearance. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Here's what the Bible says. Look at verse 10. "But instead of these things, which becometh women professing godliness with what?
Good works.
Now, what is it talking about here? Let's go back. "In like manner also that women adorn themselves." You want to adorn yourself with something? Adorn yourself with good works. That means that young ladies ought to be raised not worried about trying to chase every new fad and fickle style, but they ought to be raised by godly mothers teaching them that the greatest adorning that you can put on is that of good works, which means that you know what you ought to do. You ought to look as a lady for opportunities. I'm helping you right now. Look as a lady for opportunities to do good. You're in 1 Timothy. Look at verse number 5, chapter number 5 in 1 Timothy. I'm speaking to our ladies for a minute here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 10. "Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Well reported of for," oh, there it is again, "good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work." We're talking about 1 Timothy. We're talking about instruction on who to consider as a widow indeed. What kind of life merits and warrants the church to make sure that they're cared for? By the way, it's interesting if you go on down into that same chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 5. I'm gonna say some things. Listen on, church. Watch this. Verse 11, "But the younger women refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after saint. Now look right up here and let me help our ladies. By the way, some of the finest Christians in our church are Christian women. And I'm going to tell you something. You have my admiration, and you have no idea what you contribute every week just by your example to our congregation. But if the Bible didn't understand that this was a temptation and a tendency for women, that wouldn't address it. And you know what? Anybody with two eyeballs and a brain can discern this. If you're not careful and you don't make the doing of good works an important part of your life, if you're not busy working to do good, you're busy working at something. Okay. If you've got time to gossip, then you've got plenty of time to, instead of doing that, find something good to do to somebody else. If you've got time to send over 100 texts in a day, and most of those texts, if you were honest and were to read them, are talking about people you shouldn't be talking about and saying things you shouldn't be saying, then you need to take the time that you're doing that and do good works. You know, it used to be, honestly, it used to be a measuring stick. It used to be a crown of honor and virtue for a woman to spend her life going about the community and going about the church doing good. And if you'll be honest, a lot of that has been replaced in this younger generation. Instead of going around doing good and being honorable, there's too much wandering around and going house to house and tattling and gossip and nonsense going on. How do you eliminate that? You get yourself so busy looking around, finding people that have needs, and spending time doing something. What happened to the days when a lady used to spend, I mean days, I mean hours, I mean weeks, making a quilt and bringing it to a baby shower? Why is it that we want microwave everything? Well, whatever happened, oh, by the way, let me just go ahead, all right, because I'm here. I knew you said, what happened? Why isn't there a sewing machine in everybody's house? Well, I ain't got time to sew. What do you have time to do? Facebook stalk? Tattle? Gossip? Stir up problems in the church? Go out to eat with somebody and yak about what you don't think ought to be done and blah, 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 blah. I don't think this is, and I don't think that is. And are you a virtuous woman? Well, speaking of the virtuous woman, you ought to go over to Proverbs chapter 31, because the Bible has some things to say about her. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ladies, don't worry, I'm going to get to the men in a minute. Ladies, do you spend more time talking good about your husband or talking evil about your husband? What has become the habit of your life? I mean, when you say his name, what kind of a tone do you say it in? When you want to talk about him, or in some places, some instances, tattle about him all the time. Okay, you know what? You need to understand what virtue is. She will do him good, not evil, all the days of her life. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. How about that? And in her tongue is the law of kindness. You know what that means? She passed a law. And here's the law. I don't use my tongue except for kindness. I've had young ladies stand beside the casket of their grandma and look at me and say, "Preacher, I never heard her one time say anything bad or negative about anybody." There was a generation that had in their tongue something called the law of kindness. You ever had somebody say this? If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. You got it, folks. So what happened to that? What happened? It's gotten to be a recreational sport to sit around criticizing and gossip about people and spreading dirt and talking about people. It's the sin of small town America. Everybody thinks they know everybody else's business and spend all their time talking about it. Here's what I'm saying. What if we just took all of that effort and energy and time and decided that we're going to put it into finding people that really have needs and going around encouraging people and loving people and helping people? Listen, not only would it transform the community, it transformed this church and it transformed your heart. It'd make you a different person. How about deciding that we're going to use Tabitha in the book of Acts as a hero for our young ladies. Now, there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works. There it is again, good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. I wonder if she had any time for idle gossip. You know what she was doing? She was going around the community and looking. And she'd notice a little kid that didn't have a coat. She'd notice a little widow lady. And maybe it's cold. And the shawl she has is full of holes. And she'd go home, and you know what? With no fanfare, she'd just get busy. Did you hear that? Get busy. We got all the conveniences in the world. I mean, get in a time machine, go back 3 generations, and watch what your great-grandmother had to do from morning to dusk just to survive and how much time it took. But we made a bunch of inventions to save us time. Okay, great. Glad you have them. We save time to do what? To do what? To do what? Let's go over to Titus chapter number 2. I'm going to go on. Not only should Christian women, not only are Christian women to adorn themselves with good works, but I want to say something because it's specifically written in the Bible. Titus chapter 2 verses 5 through 8. Young men should invest heavily in good works. Young men should invest heavily in good works. Titus chapter 2, verse number 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Here in this portion of scripture, we've got instruction to the aged women, to the young women. Now we're getting to verse 6, the young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of, there it is, young men, you got strength, you got energy. By the way, a lot of you got time. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? When's the last? Come on, if I was to line up every teenage boy and put them, say, listen, you're going to stand up here, put your right hand on the King James Holy Bible, raise your right hand. If you're lying, you're dying. You tell me the last time that you took a day or part of a day and just did something for somebody else. Just did something for somebody else. You know why so many young men are getting in trouble today? They got too much idle time. And yet in your neighborhood, there are hundreds of needs. I'm talking about open your eyes on the way home. I'm talking about when you're riding the bus home from school tomorrow and you get near your house, start looking out the window and look around and notice the needs of people and go over and knock on somebody's door, maybe a widow lady, maybe a poor family, and say, could I help you do this? Well, what do you charge? I'm not charging anything. I'm just wanting you to know that I'm a Christian and I want to do something that's going to bring glory and honor to God, and I notice you have this need, and ma'am, if you'll let me, I'll help you with it. I wonder if that lady will listen to you later on when you try to tell her about Jesus Christ. And this isn't just for young men. I'm not trying to let us older men off the hook, but I'm just saying good night. We've got an entire generation of young men that are either in trouble, they're on the streets, they're in the newspaper, they're into mischief. You know why? Because we're not raising them to do this, or we've got them so involved in sports, which does nothing but promote self-glorification, that we're raising either a bunch of, you know, prideful, big-headed young men that think they're God's gift to everybody, or troublemakers, and we're not supposed to be raising either one. We ought to be raising young ladies. Come on, parents. We ought to be raising young ladies and young men that are taught and trained by watching our example and by what we insist they're involved with in this matter of who can you help. I didn't say who you could make money off. I said who can you help. You can be a blessing. I'm all for working and making money, and those opportunities will be there. But don't take advantage of widows and don't take advantage of poor people. And if you're willing to work a certain number of hours for money, you ought to be able to volunteer a few hours just to go help somebody that has a need. What are you saying? I'm talking about real Christianity here. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road. I'm talking about why a lot of times we can't and aren't accepted when we try to give somebody the gospel. All through the Bible, folks, we could go to verse after verse after verse. Financial abundance should always be looked upon as an opportunity to do good to others, not just have more for ourselves. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, which giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, ready to communicate. You know what? As people get successful in life, and I'm all for it, and man, God begins to give you an abundance, do you understand that God does not want you to be like the fool of Luke chapter 12 that always wants to tear down your barns and build bigger barns? Isn't there opportunities there? Can't you look? The Bible says, I charge you if you're rich in this world. You don't be high-minded. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches. You know what? Instead, you ought to do good, that they may be rich in good works, rich in good works, rich in good works, rich in good works. I'm going to finish with this verse and we'll be done. It's our theme verse. Listen to this portion of Scripture. For the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Amen. Separation, folks, separation from the world. It's there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Readiness for Christ's return. We ought to be looking, looking, looking. Who gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Why did he give himself for us? That he might redeem us from all iniquity. Are you saved? And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Hey, let's leave here. Let's leave here. Listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I know a lot of our people live this way. But hey, let's just leave here and say, Lord, you know what I'm going to do? First of all, the rest of today, I'm going to look around and I'm going to start with the household of faith. But Lord, I'm not going to stop there because a lost and dying world needs salt and they need light. And they need to see good works that I can glorify my Father, which is in heaven. And I just wonder if you're tender this week. What exciting encounter God has in store for you. What person that needs Jesus Christ, but you know what? They haven't figured it out. They don't know it yet. And honestly, before they need the gospel, they just need to see a little kindness. They need to see a little bit of true Christianity. What is it that God's going to do this week through Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Word of God. And we looked at a lot of it this morning. Could have looked at a lot more. But I pray, Lord, that you'll not let us get away from this truth. Lord, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So, Lord, you saved us and you gave us new life. We're new creatures in Jesus Christ. But you did it for a reason. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We need to have an impact, God, a greater impact. And, Lord, yes, pass out the gospel tracts and yes, go soul winning, and yes, let's knock on doors, and yes. But Lord, also, may we be ambassadors for you in this matter of good works. A peculiar people, zealous, zealous unto good works. Guide us, dear Holy Spirit, guide us this week. Opportunities are out there. I pray if we try to walk by one, that the Holy Spirit will convict us. The preachers preached. The Holy Spirit spoken, the message has been presented, the opportunities are coming. Help us, Lord, to do our duty. And Lord, to please you above all, we pray these things in Jesus' name.